As you heard the owner of the Patriots say at the end of that clip, everyone needs to check their egos when it comes to the future of Belichick, Brady, and Kraft, and that they are a family. That would seem to give some level of credibility to things that have been reported in recent weeks.
He didn't answer the question directly about keeping the family together, did he?
Did I miss that? I think he indicated in his...
He indicated what would have to happen for that to happen, but he didn't say... it wasn't like Bills absolutely. In terms of, will you be back? Absolutely.
Jeff, do you think it's an ego issue? Do you think that's what's going on?
I think there's a lot of things at play. Look, I have found some holes in the initial report that really kind of got this thing started, but the general theme of it, that there was some friction earlier in the season, was dead on. It was to my understanding that that had basically subsided, or at least was a non-issue, at least in terms of a working environment, and these two, you know, key figures on the field able to work together. And of course, this is a pregame show, which means they're still playing, so a lot of that is true as well. But in terms of making sure the egos are in check, I think some of this in terms of the meeting after the season is in response to the report that came out, and that you could probably have one side saying, where is this information coming from? You know, Tom Brady's probably looking around wondering who's talking. And if you're Robert Kraft, you run the show, you have to make sure that everything is as status quo as you want or expect it to be when these are your two key employees, and he probably wants to gauge the temperature of the room. And again, it's sort of like an airing of grievances. You want to make sure that everybody is honest and open with each other as they're all in the room talking, and I wouldn't be surprised if, again, this meeting that they have scheduled is as much in response to the report and how that information got out there as it is about anything that might have happened earlier in the season.
That's interesting. I also think it's interesting as we look at this AFC Championship game, Jeff, that really you could argue the fate of the Patriots season rests a little bit on Alex Guerrero. I don't know what he's doing with Tom's hand, but he's, you know, that's Tom's guy. He's pretty important. And if you're Bill and Tom doesn't play well and he can't get the job done, wouldn't you really have liked to have had Jimmy Garoppolo there? Is this the I told you so game for Bill?
I just don't think there was ever a point where there was a mandate that he had to trade Garoppolo. So I don't know if you can really link those two together. I mean, I always thought it was interesting that they wanted to keep Garoppolo around in case Brady was ever injured enough to the point where he couldn't play. They lost, you know, playoff seeding, anything along those lines, and now you got this situation here. But again, I think it's a tough correlation to make. From what I've been told, you know, Brady should be able to throw the ball just fine today. And I say that, I think there is an asterisk with that statement because we don't know. I mean, there's a lot of optimism, and I can relay that optimism confidently because it exists, and I heard it from a lot of different angles. But we're not going to find out until 3:05 today, because throwing in practice is a good start, and that's what you want to see. The treatment went well. The recovery, everything with the hand went according to plan, which is good. But they weren't throwing against the Jaguars' live defense, and there are a lot of things that you can exploit with that defense. But if you aren't throwing the ball to 100% of your intention, your accuracy, the velocity, then all of a sudden you've got some of these playmaking corners, some of the speed at linebacker. You know what? Maybe they look at themselves in the second quarter and they're like, you know what? Maybe we can take a couple extra chances that we wouldn't have been able to take.
We're talking with Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald. Jeff, I asked this question to Andy Hart earlier, and I'll ask it to you as well. I think you've actually written about this, and that is some of the vulnerabilities or the soft spots in the Jacksonville defense that the Patriots should attack. Where should they attack?
Over the middle. Don't even bother going outside. I mean, which is interesting because when you talk about the Jaguars defense, you either start with the pass rush or the cornerbacks. If you're going to start with the cornerbacks, it's like, well, how much of that talent is actually wasted against a Patriots offense that doesn't really need to go outside the numbers all that much? Now, I think there will be a couple opportunities to hit the deep post because that will be open. But really, the brunt of the Patriots offensive attack is going to come from isolating, you know, trying to get some 3-on-2 matchups against their zone over the middle. The Jaguars are very similar to the Seahawks. The Patriots know that. I know they kind of poo-pooed that a little bit in the media this week, but they know they're similar to the Seahawks and that they do what they do because they do it well. And there's a lot of admiration in that type of philosophy. The problem is, if you're not elite over the middle like the Seahawks are, with Wagner and then the best safety tandem in the NFL, the Jaguars don't even have anywhere close to the talent safety that the Seahawks have had during their run. And in my opinion, they're not as good as Wagner and Wright at linebacker. So that leads to vulnerabilities. So you can do what you do because you do it well, and that's great. But you have to acknowledge that is going to lead to some matchup disadvantages because you've got a smart quarterback and coordinator who are able to scheme up how you can attack a basic cover three that doesn't change, doesn't adjust all that much, is not going to throw a lot of man at you the way the Falcons did last year. And, again, there are soft spots. And I thought it was interesting while trying to put this story together for the paper earlier this week, four of the six highest point totals that the Jaguars surrendered this season were against NFC West teams. So it wasn't just Garoppolo. It was teams that have played against the Seahawks cover three, including the Seahawks themselves, over the course of the last several years and know how to attack a cover three scheme. And the Patriots have done that extremely well. Brady's last five games against a cover three similar scheme like this, going back to Super Bowl 49, 104 passer rating, averaging 324 yards a game or something like that. And, I mean, just astronomical numbers.
Yeah, and you're right, and those numbers are great. The one thing I would just say to that, though, is that both Super Bowl 49 and Super Bowl 51 were slogs. You know, the overall numbers were amazing, but those were both games that were difficult games for the Patriots, and I think in both those games, they really wore the opposing defense down. Super Bowl 49, they ran 72 plays to Seattle's 53. Against Atlanta, it was outrageous. They ran 93 plays to 46 for the Falcons. In both those games, they had 28 points in regulation time. Also, both those games, they had Julian Edelman. So is this the game where they miss Julian Edelman?
I mean, they've missed Julian Edelman a number of times. But, and of course, they're going to miss him. And I don't want to downplay the production of the Jaguars' defense because this is not going to be like a, you know, a Steelers game or just other matchups. You have to earn it. You have to earn what you get against the Jaguars, and you have to methodically drive your way down the field. I don't think they're going to be, you know, huge plays or anything like that. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if they hit deep posts because they're vulnerable to that. And Brady had some success with Cooks and Hogan on some of the deeper stuff in the joint practices because that exists. And it was, you know, again, there's not going to be any fundamental breakdowns. It's just, can you methodically work your way down the field? And in order to do that, you have to execute with high efficiency. And, you know, another one of the stats in those five meetings against cover three, 73% completion percentage. So it just shows that you have to be efficient in order to beat this defense.
Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game.
All right, thank you.